You know, I'll put out some sort of blog piece in the near future, whether it's really interview style or I might incorporate it into, you know, a highlight piece with some comments from you. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I just really want to kind of talk about like the product, see where the product is heading, get your insights on a few trends.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of what I want to go
over
today.
Let's do it.
So, you know, just to kind of kick it off, like, what has, since the acquisition, I guess, what's changed for you personally?
Yeah.
And I guess for HubDoc?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me personally, what's changed, like, in the last 3 or 4 months is I get to build products on a much bigger platform now. Mm-hmm. And the set of problems I'm working on and I've worked on for the last 5 or 6 years are about automation and driving value for accountants and bookkeepers. And the exciting part is I get to bring all of that work to collaborate with a bunch of smart people building stuff on the Xero platform. So that's different in a super positive way. Mm-hmm. I find the work like intellectually stimulating, engaging, and I kind of like what I've been preparing to do
yep.
for the last 5 years. So that's awesome. Being part of like a global software company is amazing. Like the fact that we have presence in UK, New Zealand, UK here, in Canada, obviously, that's great. It comes with its challenges, like dealing with, I mean, our business was a lot easier to run. We had 100 people in Toronto and a dozen in Australia and a few in the UK. And it was just, there was certainly, the only challenge I'm seeing inside of Xero is like how to deal with lots of different time zones
yeah.
and how do you build consensus in a bigger company, which is just all standard
yep.
big company stuff. So that's changed. And what's changed for HubDoc? I mean, I think for our team, there's a lot of upside, right? We're part of a top 20 global SaaS company. That's going to create amazing opportunities for our go-to-market teams, our developers, our engineers, our designers. That's all super positive. I think, like, being part of a larger entity comes, like, it's like, what's going to become of HubDoc? Like, are we, so, I mean, I talked about building the
yep.
functionality in the Xero platform today. That's going to be a multi-year project, right, building data automation into Xero.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we grow the HubDoc brand and product at the same time as
yep.
we're doing that? And how do we not spread our resources too thin? Definitely a challenge.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is your focus in this new role at the moment?
I think, like, the day-to-day focus is, like, how do we make the core way better? And, like, if you think about finding Recode or
yep.
BankRec or building data automation into Xero, like, I want to do a few things really, really well and deliver the features that our customers are demanding and do it in a, like, no, we're not going to do that, but we're going to do this and do it in a really disciplined way and just get really good at incremental craftsman-like improvements to the platform. And so that's the 12 to 18 month mandate. And then that's work I love doing. And then the more kind of out there exciting part of it is like, you know, what's the future of accounting and our business? What does it become? What do we want it to become?
So what's your view on that?
It's still early. Like, it would be presumptuous for me to say, like, having not, you know, interfaced with many of the other product leaders, but, like, in talking with Carrie and Craig and Anna, like, I think there's... I don't think we have, like... accounting is going to be this. It's like a view on what's going to change and what's not going to change. I think there's going to be tax returns and compliance
yeah.
and business owners are going to want to pay people and they're going to want to do payroll and they're going to want reporting on how they're doing in a real-time way. And it's just like if those things are staying constant, like what's going to change and like how do we embrace that change and build a true platform off of it. And so that we often talk about Xero moving from a platform where you go to do your work to one that helps you run your business. And so we got to start, you know, iterating on a few of those little opportunities and see if we can get crisper on the, you know, what is the 10-year vision for the platform.
Yeah.
I think we're we're in the right direction, but I don't know that we've crisply articulated, like, this is what it's going to be, yeah. right? And I don't think, like, we obviously read what everyone in the industry writes and shares at their user conferences, but it's not totally clear, right?
There's all these new technologies. And yeah,
it's
to
like
see how it plays
who's
out.
Best positioned to kind of own the customer and the flow over time? Like, imagine a world where every business is run on Shopify. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. But in that scenario, it's like, wow, they have all the revenue data. What if they just held the money and they could do banking? They could do expenses. Like a lot of things. That's just a long way of saying we don't know yet, but we got a lot of work to do making what we do just way, way better.
That's you to develop the core to help lead the
core. Yeah, and you
think
about what Craig and Carrie are working on and what Nick will talk about tomorrow.
That's not core though, right?
That's like inventing the future of zero, which is pretty awesome.
So when I read the press release, like one of the one part of your mandate is really development of core accounting tools.
Yep.
So then you mentioned BankRec and Find and Recode. Yep. Is there anything there that you can kind of precisely talk about in terms of like ideas that you might have, things that you?
Well, like honestly, Craig built BankRec, right? And it's got to be our most used feature, and like we should have product teams working on how to make that better and how to make it more reliable, how to make it scale, how to drive automation against it. So you'll see us invest there. You'll see us invest in data automation. I mean, I can't comment about clear product roadmaps. Here's what we're going to deliver when, but I think that type of feature, like Find and Recode, is the type of thing I want to build, right? Because it's simple, it works, it saves enormous amounts of time for Zen Accountant and others in their daily jobs.
Yeah. So I saw a YouTube clip.
Yeah.
You gave a presentation.
TechTO, maybe?
Yeah, about your why. Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But you did say that you envision the future of accounting as invisible.
Yeah.
Do you still believe that? What's your thoughts on that? That was on one of the slides.
Yeah. Future of accounting is invisible.
Where it's, I guess, kind of in the background for small businesses to a certain extent.
I mean, I just think there's an evolution of my thinking. The invisible is aspirational, right? It implies that you don't need UI. Everything is automated. And I just think, like, realistically, we're decades away from that scenario. Like, I view automation as like a pie chart, and like we've literally got like 1% of the pie chart automated now, and it's like it's my job and the people I work with to kind of expand that pie chart over time. Like I said, what's not going to change? People need to do payroll. People need to pay bills. People need to send invoices. Will more of that move to mobile? I hope so. Can you imagine voice being a driver of the platform? Yeah. A big driver? Probably not, right? Like, we need reporting. I need to see the income statement. I need the balance sheet at the end of periods. Like, those things aren't invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, obviously, AI, ML, buzzwords used all over the place? I mean, obviously, these are things that are being used quite a bit in the platform.
Yep.
How much of a impact do you think we're going to see maybe in the next 1 to 2 years with regards to these technologies and on how they might change workflows for accountants and firms and stuff like that? Do you think we're going to see any big changes in the next 2 years, let's say?
The metaphor or analogy, rather, I use is like, talking about ML is like talking about databases in the 80s, right? It's like, oh, I need a database, right? And now, why do you need a database? It's like, oh, I want to track sales, and I want to know who's selling what to whom and what SKUs are moving. And so in the same way that databases are pervasive through every software company and every business in the world now, I think machine learning will follow that path. But start with the customer, right? Which is like, what are the problems we're trying to solve, and why is it important? The data extraction problem that we've used machine learning on is like, I don't want to look at a receipt and code it into Xero. I want my client to take a picture. I want it to show up in an application, and I want it to land in Xero, and then I want to reconcile it, right? So
that's a good problem.
That's a problem, right?
What other problems do you see at the moment?
We talked about, like, coding recommendations. Like, you can imagine bank feed transactions coming in. We should just know that HubSpot is software always and be able to define that from the chart of accounts. And there's, like, 10 other ideas that we have through the application. I mean, you saw it in Xero Central. Like, I mean, it's a trivial example, which is like you start typing and we give you the search results based on just like Google does, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's all ML driven. I just think, you know, what customer problems can we apply pattern recognition and matching to, which is really what machine learning is, and to deliver a better customer experience. And I mean, you saw that we were talking on Twitter today about, like, how accurate is it? And it's like, you obviously need accuracy thresholds, because if you dump garbage data into an accounting platform, people will no longer trust you and they'll turn it off.
Yep.
So you just can't do that, or people won't use your stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another obviously hot topic is blockchain, and people throw that word all over the place.
Yeah.
But I think I read an interview. I couldn't track it down, but I think I read an interview that you did at one point where you, and it was relatively recent.
Everything's on the internet, Ryan.
Relatively
recent. Can you, Abby, type in Jamie McDonald blockchain?
I searched that. But you gave some thoughts about how we might be able to leverage blockchain when it comes to bookkeeping.
Yeah. I think decentralized trust is the next thing. If I wasn't doing, like, this awesome job at Xero, and I was thinking about starting another company, decentralized ledger would be an area I'd think really hard about. Like, I think we're in the dot-com crash era for blockchain right now, and there's a ton of innovation happening, and there's no heat in the market like there was when Bitcoin was at 20 grand or whatever, right? And I think that's a great time to build companies and ideas. You know, can I say conclusively that there'll be some blockchain impacts on the way accounting's done? Don't know. I like the idea of governments adopting it as a tax compliance means for, like, picture HST reporting. If every transaction, you know, I think there's some high fraud countries like Brazil and Spain where you have to CC the government on an invoice, basically. It's like, why couldn't that be on the blockchain? And you could even have a private chain which only certain people could encrypt, and you talk about building data automation. It's like, oh, it's here. I've got my token in Xero, which is matched to that decentralized chain, and I'm able to suck in all my transactions that happened on it. You know, there's a ton of problems that need to be solved before any of that happens.
We're still,
like, the power consumption of the Bitcoin network is a perfect example. So we need to figure out, like, unlimited carbon-free power before we scale out blockchain. So, I don't know. I'm super interested in the tech, but I don't see it impacting our accounting lives in the next 5 years.
Got it.
Yeah.
Are you able to talk a bit about further integration between HubDoc and Xero? Is that something you're...
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're looking at ways to get HubDoc into the hands of more and more Xero customers, and that's... There's like a go-to-market component, which is just, we've got a lot of Xero go-to-market people around the world, getting them used to telling the HubDoc story. And then there's a product integration component, which you can imagine we're working on, but I won't really comment on timelines or any of that. And you'll see more to come.
Like when I saw bill feeds, like one of your slides today showed bill feeds as data automation.
Yeah.
Is that, I would assume.
That's part of the vision. I mean, I think if you think about what bill feeds might be, start with, I think of it as like tributaries in a river, right? And so you've got people taking a picture and doing manual upload and running data extraction against that, so very manual. And then you've got e-invoicing, which is just really nascent, maybe happening in a few markets around the world as like API driven and automated and automatic, and like screen scraping being somewhere in between there, right? And so I think bill feeds just like a metaphor I use because people understand bank feed, and it's like, wouldn't it be great if we could build out bill feed in a way that was as reliable and ubiquitous as bank feed, so that, you know, every time you buy something on Amazon, it shows up at Xero. So know that we're working on it.
Got it. two more questions for you. One, I wanted to talk about your views on attempts to kind of Uberize this profession to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You see some in this space kind of creating like a marketplace where, you know, they're connecting bookkeepers and accountants with small businesses.
Yeah.
Like, what's your view on that? Do you think that it's possible? Do you think that it provides value to the client at the end of the day? What's your view on, I guess, attempts to Uberize the accounting and bookkeeping space?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends is the answer. Like, if I'm, quote-unquote, like a business below $50,000 in turnover, mm-hmm. where it's not necessarily a going concern, maybe no payroll, you know, could any bookkeeper show up and sit in the chair and begin to do the work on that file? You know, maybe. I think as you add any modicum of complexity, as a business owner, I want some continuity. Like, I think there's, and I said this to you when you were in your practice, like, I kind of think there's an unlimited demand for mm-hmm. a service at $1,000 a month, which gives you real-time reconciliation of your books, payroll, tax return at the end of the year, and, you know, whatever quarterly reporting is required by that business. That's $12,000 a year, which is dramatically more than lots of people out at mm-hmm. Zero Connor charging.
Yep.
But, like, what are your alternatives as a small business? Yeah. Like, hiring somebody, like, bookkeepers $40 an hour, and they turn over quickly. It's impossible to find a good one. You know, hiring an internal CFO or director of finance or somebody to do it for you. That's, like, $40,000 a year minimum, right, to get an average, like, an entry-level person. So I think there's tons of juice left for the accounting and bookkeeping profession to drive value, and the transition to cloud and fixed-based pricing, we're like on a 10-year journey, and I'm not selling that service short at all.
Got
like what Block is doing with Wave and or may do, and what Intuit's doing with QuickBooks Live, it's certainly interesting. You look at it and you think that's either the future or that's a way to alienate some of your biggest advocates.
Yep.
It's one of the two. Don't know which.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're certainly taking the position of embracing the accounting and bookkeeping community. Can I say that we're never going to launch a bookkeeping service? I can say that I don't think we're working on it now, and I'm not privy to it.
Yeah,
and I'd have to think long and hard before saying we want to do that.
Okay, cool. Last question. Back to that YouTube video I saw.
Yeah.
You talked about your why,
which
is to inspire your daughters
and
to, what is it, make an impact and help others get better.
Sure.
This recent change, moving into a new role, the acquisition of HubDoc, how does that change anything? Does that change the why at all? Does that, do you see this advancing, you know, that why at all?
Yeah, I think it's just that a manifestation of it in a different form, right? Like, on one level, what I'm doing is keeping my promises to the people at Xero who I did a business deal with, and I want them to say at the end of this, at the end of our relationship, wow, that was the best transaction we ever did, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And like Jamie kept their promises. They came in and they drove impact in our company. They created opportunity for all the HubDoc people who joined the company. Like, that's providing a wonderful example to my children. I hope they conduct business that way. And that's the way my grandfather did business. And I come from a family business family. I kind of believe in, like, the handshake, keep your promises, show up, work hard, shut up, and be low ego. And so this new role in Xero is just a continuation of that.
It's, cool.
It all makes sense for me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, awesome.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
So I'll draft something up, and appreciate your time.
Yeah, that's fun.
And
I'm like, we should grab beer the next